Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And this month of September has kept everyone busy in this sacred town with one celebration after another. Devotees have come from so many parts of India and the world. There was a huge group for Bhagwan Darshan from the district of Vishakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh. It was a large contingent of over 1,000 devotees, and they were here on September 1st. They were here for 3 days on their Parthi pilgrimage, their Prashanti pilgrimage, and on September 2nd they presented an inspiring play based on real life stories of people whose lives have been touched and transformed by the various service initiatives of the Sai organization of Andhra Pradesh. Their dance drama was entitled Sai Sainyam Kadilindi, meaning the Sai army marches ahead. And it was a very beautiful program that day. In fact, for all the 3 days, let me just give you a brief glimpse of their cultural presentation on September 2nd. And then we'll move on to many more things coming up on this last segment of Thursday Live. So here is a brief glimpse of the Parthi Yatra program of the Vishakhapatnam district on September 2nd.
Shiridi lopali daivam nene చిత్తములో పలి ధ్యానం నేనే, చిత్తములో పలి ధ్యానం నేనే, నిఖిలో నేనే శిరిడిలో పలి దైవం నేనే, శిరిడిలో పలి దైవం నేనే.
So that was a feel of the Prashanti pilgrimage of devotees from the district of Visakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh, and this happened in the first week of September. And from the second week started the Ganesh Chaturthi celebration. September 9th was the day this vibrant festival began, and the finale was the colorful and breathtaking occasion when bands of boys with their own magnificent creations to carry their Lord to the waters assembled in Sai Kulwan Thal. It was one of the most exciting and exhilarating days Prashanti has seen this year. And we discussed about the Ganesha principle in the previous two Thursdays, all of which can be downloaded from our site, radiosai.org. So this happened on September 11th. Yes, September 11th. September 11th, 9-11. And this very mention of 9-11 brings to us so many, I should say, unpleasant memories of 2001. Of one of the saddest pages of history that was written when terrorists hijacked four planes and created a catastrophe of unprecedented means in United States of America. The death, the destruction and depression that this nation witnessed is something that it had rarely seen in this century. But I also discovered that this 9-11 is actually a very significant date, because there have been many historic and positively powerful events that history has orchestrated on this date, right from Swami Vivekananda's powerful and prophetic speech in Chicago in 1893 to Gandhiji starting the Satyagraha movement in South Africa. All this happened on September 11th, on 9-11, and even the article by Mr. Rusi Karanjia, the much respected and much feared atheist and Marxist journalist, who first wrote an article in his tabloid Bliss deriding Swami and later had a complete U-turn in his approach to Bhagwan and published an article in 1976 on September 11, hailing Baba as God. All of this happened on September 11. So it's really interesting when you study all this in detail. In fact, there's an interesting article about this on our website, radioside.org. You might want to read this piece. So this month, September, significant September is on, and just this Tuesday concluded another three-day devotional delight of dance, drama and music, this time by the hundreds of devotees from Kerala who had assembled here to celebrate their Onam with Bhagwan. Each day was marked with beautiful presentations. Let me give you a two-minute glimpse of the morning of Onam, and then we'll move on to our program proper, to our episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside for this Thursday night. So here is a brief glimpse of Onam.
പുട്ട പത്തിയിൽ നിറഞ്ഞു നിൽക്കും ശ്രീ സായി തൻ ദിവ്യ പാദങ്ങളിൽ ശ്രീ പുട്ട പത്തിയിൽ നിറഞ്ഞു നിൽക്കും ശ്രീ സായി തൻ ദിവ്യ പാദങ്ങളിൽ ശിരസാൽ നാമിച്ചും മനസാൽ സ്മരിച്ചും ശിരസാൽ നാമിച്ചും മനസാൽ സ്മരിച്ചും നിന്നിടുമെന്നുമെന്നിൽ പ്രേമത്തിൻ മാധുര്യം ചൊരിഞ്ഞിടണേ സ്വാമി പ്രേമത്തിൻ മാധുര്യം ചൊരിഞ്ഞിടണേ സായി കൃഷ്ണ മുകുന്ദ ജനാർദ്ദന സായി ഗോവിന്ദ നാരായണഗരേ ഈശ്വരാംബദൻ അമ്പാടിവാനം പാടി ആനന്ദഗാനം പാടി അമ്പാടിവാനം പാടി ആനന്ദഗാനം പാടി ഗോപികൾ ചിത്തം പാടി കണ്ണനെ തേടി തേടി ഗോപികൾ ചിത്തം വാടി കണ്ണനെ തേടി തേടി രാമന്റെ.
So that was a glimpse of Onam morning, and there were of course many programs in the evening. Prize distribution of many competitions organized by the Sai organization for the youth of Kerala across the state. More than 20,700 students representing 750 educational institutions participated in this year's competition. It was an essay writing competition organized by the Sai organization of Kerala. So you had the award presentation ceremony on the evening of Onam Day, and there of course there was a drama, there were songs and so on. So that was Onam in Prashanthi Nilayam. But in the midst of all these festivities in this month, there was also a program on September 8th. Yes, on the second Sunday of this month, just before the Ganesh Chaturthi Day, and it was called the Sai Sannidhi Day, the Sai Sannidhi presentation, a lovely evening of soulful songs and reflections by former students of Baba's institutions. So what is the Sai Sannidhi group and what do they do? Well, for those unfamiliar, Sai Sannidhi group refers to those men alumni of Baba's educational institutions who have been blessed to be part of his mission directly, that is, who have the opportunity to serve in any of Baba's institutions, be it the hospitals, the university, the colleges, the schools, or anywhere inside the ashram in Prashanthi Nilayam or Brindavan. And this includes Radio Sai, the canteen, the shopping complex, bookstore and so on. And this group is unique because until 2011, Bhagwan physically picked these students to serve in his various missions. And since all of them work for either the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust or its sister trust, and Central Trust was founded by Bhagwan on September 2nd in the 70s, 1972. This group every year takes an opportunity to express their gratitude to Swami for the immense blessings that he has showered on each one of them. And so they have their program on September 2nd or on the first Sunday after September 2nd, as boys have to assemble from other campuses other than Prashanthi Nilayam. And when I mention about Sai Sannidhi Day, my mind actually goes back to the year 2002. That year, on Sai Sannidhi Day, which Bhagwan wanted it to be celebrated on the Ganesh Chaturthi Day that year, so it happened on September 10th, 2002, in the discourse that Bhagwan gave on that occasion, Swami said, "For the last 30 years, I have been personally supervising the day-to-day affairs of the trust. But ever since my students have joined the trust office, and this happened in 1998, ever since my students have joined the trust office, they have taken up various responsibilities and they are doing a good job. They are rendering yeoman service. They are very intelligent and honest. And they are spreading my message all over the world. I am extremely happy. This is what Bhagwan said on Sai Sannidhi in the year 2002. And this year, Dr. Shivakumar, who serves as a faculty member in the Vrindavan campus, he spoke on Sai Sannidhi Day before the music program began, and he had entitled his talk as His Choice, His Voice, His Voice. And when I heard that, I felt it was so apt. And I thought in this month of September, probably it is appropriate to listen to some of these members of Sai Sannidhi group. And so I invited to the studios two brothers who are now working in the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, Pradeep Kulashrestha and Brother Jay Ganesh. And we recorded a small conversation with them in the studios just yesterday. So this is what I'm going to play for you now. Reflections of two members of the Sai Sannidhi group. But before we get on to that, let us pause for a moment and offer our most reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Lord. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we ever remain grateful to you for your love, for your blessings, and for your presence in our lives. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to a fresh episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:58. And as I mentioned, welcome to this first episode of the program, His Voice, His Voice, His Mission, the part one of this presentation. And as I just told you, you're now going to listen to a conversation that I recorded with Pradeep and Jay Ganesh. Here it is.
Sairam brothers Pradeep and Jay Ganesh to the studios. Can I start with you, brother Pradeep? You work in the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust and you have been involved in so many service initiatives of the trust, especially the water project of Bhagwan since perhaps 1999. So almost 10-15 years into working directly under Bhagwan's guidance in this mega projects. So we definitely would want to know your perspective of being a part of these huge missions. You know, you are working behind the scenes. So how has been your experience? But before that, please share, how did you come to Swami's fold and, you know, what inspired you to stay back after doing your post-graduation here to serve in Swami's mission? Of course, it is Bhagwan's grace that he gave you that opportunity, but definitely you had that inclination to stay back. So how did all this happen?
Sairam brother, it was indeed Swami's will that I could come here. It was in 1986 when I joined Regional Engineering College, Tishapalli, that I came to know about Bhagwan.
Which is now called NIT.
Now it is called National Institute of Technology.
Yes.
Tirchappalli. I came to know about Bhagwan through some of our friends who were devoted and they used to keep Swami's photographs with them. Somehow I got inspiration to come and visit Bhagwan in 1987. I came to Prashantalam first time in 1987 during Dasara festival time. I got down from bus and entered into Prashantalam ashram. It was really a very peaceful and calm experience. I had darshan of Bhagwan and then I went to dormitory. In the night I had one dream. Bhagwan came and told, I am the same Shirdi Sai Baba. At the time I did not know who is Shirdi Sai Baba. Saw me during darshan time and I had very good experience during Navratri festival. at Prashantilayam. When I went back from here after 3-4 days holiday at Prashantilayam, I had a very strange experience. Calm and peaceful mind always prevailed for almost 15 to 20 days. I was doing my regular duty. I used to attend classes, come back. The moment I come back from classes and go into my room, I used to go into a deep trance. I sit for around 3:30 p.m. and get up at around 7 p.m. I used to feel just as sat for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but used to be more than 2 hours, 2 and a half hours. So this continued for almost 10 to 15 days. I don't know what kind of experience was that at the time. Mind used to be detached, and whenever I'm listening to lecture, mind will focus what he's speaking, but all the way in inner heart, I used to feel that is all unreal. So after 15-20 days, that experience slowly disappeared. Actually, I was brought up in an environment where people said there is no God and one should depend on one's own self-effort. So my first question was, what is God? So when I came to Swami, this was main motive force to know what is God. Since then, I have been coming to Prashantilayam as Sevadal. After completing my engineering degree, I had an option whether to go for master degree or IAS or something else. But somehow I wanted to pursue that spiritual goal of life. So I decided I'll be near Bhagwan, whatever may come in. So I joined CSET Institute of Higher Learning for MBA course, and I completed my master degree in business administration in 1995. I had to wait for almost 1.5 years before I could join in Bhagwan's institution and serve him. I wanted to join as school teacher in Muddanalli campus, but Bhagwan had some other plan. He refused that, and finally in 1998 he gave me opportunity to serve in his trust called Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. This was a great experience because my main motive was to lead a spiritual life and to know God. But then I realized that unlike various other missions like Ramakrishna Mission, where Swami Vivekananda, Swami Brahmananda had to really beg for the sustenance, there was means available where we could do seva and sustain ourselves. So we could do spiritual sadhana as well as serve others. It was a really great experience. In 1999, Bhagwan undertook a water supply project in the Medak and Mahmud district of Telangana region. I was fully involved in this project, starting from quotation of waste suppliers, contractors, issuing purchase order, evaluating invoices, making payments. It was a great experience. Swami used to shower his blessings. Swami used to shower his blessings on us. We were around 20 boys at that time who had joined ashram in various trusts like Books and Publication Trust, Sri Satya Central Trust, and Bhaksayak Sangh. Swami used to interact with us, and whenever he is about to go to Vrindavan, he will call all the boys for interview. And whenever Swami called boys, people used to think that Swami is going to Vrindavan. That was the kind of impression they had got.
This was in the years 2000
around. 2000 around.
Around 98, you said a lot of boys joined various sections of the ashram. So it was almost as if before Bhagwan was leaving to Vrindavan, he just wanted to interact with all those boys who are looking after the various wings of the ashram.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And he used to give instruction that boys should come to Vrindavan in batches and alternate weeks. And he used to say that all boys should not come, and they should come in alternate weeks.
All should not come together.
Together.
Some should be there always looking after the works. Yeah.
And he will send prasadam from there for all the residents of ashram, including institute, hospital. And we used to really look forward for that opportunity to be in Vrindavan with Swami. After Medaka and Mahabub district project, Swami undertook another project to elevate the sufferings of people of Chennai city in the year 2002. This project was different kind because it was an open conduit project where Arjun clan already existed. Under the Telugunga project, government has had dug a canal starting from Srisalam reservoir on Krishna river up to Somsila reservoir on Penna river, and Somsila reservoir water used to flow to Kandali reservoir, and from Kandali reservoir water was being supplied to Pundi reservoir to cater the need of people of Chennai. This was Arjun canal, and because of seepage, hardly 10 to 15% of water was being received in the Pundi reservoir. So Bhagwan decided to improve the infrastructure of Kandanelu Pundi canal, which is now known as Sisat Sai Ganga canal. If you see the statistical figure, it is really amazing. Around 5,000 workers working in two shift up to 10 o'clock in the night, the kind of machinery used. But Swami was not at all interested in this statistical figure. His main concern was whether people are happy. So whenever we went to site and report to Bhagwan, he always used to ask whether people are happy. And I remember when this canal was inaugurated, the chief engineer of the project said it is really a miracle, because normally water used to take almost 4 to 5 days to reach from Kandali reservoir to Pundi canal. But after improvement work, water reached Pundi reservoir just in 20 hours. It was really amazing, and chief engineer also could not believe. He said, Swami has done some magic.
Really?
So, and I was told when water was released from Kandali reservoir to Pundi reservoir, is after almost gap of 3 years that people of Chennai received water through tap. Otherwise, they used to get water through tankers. So Swami's concern was always happiness of the people. People should be happy. And he used to always say, be happy, be happy. After Chennai project, Swami decided to undertake yet another water supply project in the east and west Godavari district of Andhra Pradesh. Though there is plenty of water in Godavari river, but upland and tribal habitations were not able to get that drinking water. So Swami decided that he will provide Godavari river water to these upland and tribal villages of east and west Godavari district. Almost 500 villages were covered. After this project, Bhagwan again decided that around 25 kilometer stretch of canal inside Tamil Nadu from Andhra Tamil Nadu border to Pundi reservoir, this stretch of canal to be improved and renovated. This was completed, and after that almost 90% of water, whatever was released from Kandali reservoir, reached to Pundi reservoir. Earlier hardly 15 to 20% water was reaching to Pundi reservoir. So it was really a very great experience that we realize that after doing so many projects, that when we are good to others, when we do seva to others, we experience a bliss.
Real
happiness we realize. It is not in amassing wealth, that it is not in such seeking all kind of pleasure that we really get happiness. Real happiness lies in to be selfless, being selfless.
And it's so wonderful, like, you've been so directly involved in the execution of this project. So that definitely fills you with a great sense of fulfillment, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. And before we move on, I just want to clarify with you, you know, the experience that you mentioned, two things stay in my mind about what you mentioned about your early journey to Bhagwan. One is that state where after having Bhagwan's darshan here, you went back to your engineering college, and in those 15 days, you were sort of in a different state of being. You used to come back and, you know, you said from 3:30 to 7, you used to just not know how the time passed. It was almost like 3-4 hours just goes and you feel like it's just 5 minutes away. So it is some sort of, it's a very different state. What is that state? Could you ever fathom what that state is?
Yes. At the time, I did not know what it is. But now, after going through various Upanishads, I came to know this is called Savikalpa Samadhi. There are various gates of Samadhi. High kind of Samadhi, people cannot do their daily routine, daily duties. But lower kind of samadhi, people can take up their daily routine, but their mind will totally detached. It will entire peace and calm will prevail. There will not be any desire. Things will appear as it is, but it will appear as we are seeing in dream, unreal. So then I came to know, because my mind will focus at the right side of the heart. Then I came to know this is called really spiritual heart. Till that time I was just thinking, I heard of spiritual heart, but I never really experienced that one. So I came to know that Sita Upanishad speaks about spiritual heart at the right side of the physical heart. So it was a experience of Savikalpa Samadhi. There are higher kind of samadhis. Nirvikalpa Samadhi also is there. But that people cannot come back to the normal state.
Yes, so this is a state where you could be in that great feeling of peace, yet do your regular jobs, your classes at that time.
Yes.
It's really profound. It really reminds of the experience that Ramakrishna gave to Vivekananda. You know,
yes.
He just touched, and Vivekananda had that experience of unity and the whole world being unreal.
Yeah.
Brahmam Satya Jagat Mithya, as Bhagavan used to always say. And to get that experience, now you had the chance to sort of get it directly from Bhagavan.
Yes, it was really blessings. It was not possible through self-effort.
Yes, and it just came. As you mentioned, you didn't do any sadhana for it.
I didn't expect anything. As I said, I started my journey to know God, what is God. Without speaking to Bhagwan, without writing any letter, Bhagwan gave me this experience. Because he knew every individual heart, what is pining.
Yes,
inside heart.
He knows the journey of every soul.
Yes.
And where he has to take next, how he has to take that soul to the next level. And the other thing that you mentioned, you always wanted to join Mudanalli, but Swami, in his divine design, wanted you to join the Central Trust. And the other thing that you mentioned, that Bhagwan wanted you to join the Central Trust. And today when we look back, it is so significant, because you are a civil engineer, and being part of all these projects with that background is so useful. I mean, someone who looks after all these civil works of Bhagwan with a proper degree, you think, I mean, Bhagwan knows the right person for the
yes.
right job all the time.
So it's
such a great blessing for you. And it's so heartening to know how Bhagwan has sort of picked the right person for the right job in various places in the ashram. Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for sharing. Brother Jaganesh, if you can share, how did you happen to get involved in the Central Trust, and now you're looking after telemedicine and so many other healthcare initiatives of the Central Trust. How did you find yourself in this position?
Sairam, Brother Bishud, takes me back in the memory lane. First of all, right from childhood, I had one desire. I wanted to be a doctor. A doctor and nothing other than a doctor. So when I was in my 12th standard, I was doing pretty well in bio, and I was pretty sure that I will be getting in a medical school. But what had happened was, just before the final exams, after my practicals, I fell ill, and then I was diagnosed with chickenpox. So I was completely bedridden for 17 full days. So this is just before the exams. Like, you know, I hardly have probably another a week or so for the final exams.
The 12th grade, the 12th,
yes,
class 12th final
grade.
Exams. Huh.
Yes. So however much I prepared and did well, like, I couldn't secure the cutoff marks that required for a medical school. At the time it was, I think, for my category, it was about 98.9 or 99. So all that I could secure was about 88. So with that, like, my hopes were dashed. And then I was just feeling a bit depressed and thinking what to do. So, but anyway, I had decided to sort of give other common entrance exams in India, like, you know, All India Pre-Medical Pre-Dental, which is All India quota. So even if I don't get it in the state quota, probably I can, though the competition is higher, I was preparing for that. And I had absolutely no idea or interest about coming to Puttaparthi and doing a BSc.
Okay.
Though we used to visit, we are devotees right from my childhood. And I'm grateful for my parents. We used to visit every year. And then we had wonderful experiences with Bhagwan. And but absolutely with respect to studying here, I never had an interest or even a remote thought that I would do it. And then like I was not that well prepared for hostel life and things like that. And then I was always homebird. So anyway, coming back
so
to 19...
being at home and you...
Yes, I was that.
Yes.
So that is my past life.
Okay.
And came back for the entrance year. That is especially because my mother took interest and she saw the advertisement in Sanatan Sarthi, which we used to subscribe at home. And she took that interest and then said like, yes, you do medicine, but just apply. So it was her initiative and I just said, okay. And of course the rest was done, and the day came that I need to come here for the entrance. So I was pretty clear that, you know, I'm going for medicine, I'm going to Parthi and write this entrance, and that's
just
it.
For the sake of mothers.
Yes. And I came, and full time I was serving in canteen with one of my brothers who is still there, and he was here also. I met him in the canteen, and then like both of us are writing entrance, and both of us are serving in the canteen throughout the day, and there is absolutely no preparation for the entrance and things like that. And then I had brought the material for pre-medical, pre-dental.
Oh, even you are here.
Yes.
BSc entrance.
Brilliant tutorials material which I had brought. And I was pretty sure about that part. And I did this, and a full day I used to serve till late, probably around 10 o'clock in the South Indian canteen here. And that's it. That's my preparation for the entrance here. But what had happened was, I still remember the very room where I wrote my entrance. I wrote my entrance and then I was just coming out on the corridor. A thought came to me like, what if I get in here and then just stay back? I don't know how it occurred and why it occurred. Of course, it is Bhagwan, because I never had a thought or an inkling to do any education here other than becoming a doctor and coming and serving in Swami's super specialty hospital.
That was okay. You could become a doctor and come back and serve in the hospital.
Yes.
But you had no interest to join as a student.
Yes, sure. Because my parents are also mentioned about UT school and always had the interest, but the aim was to do medicine and come back here in Swami's hospital as a doctor. So like this happened in 1995, and the entrance, of course, is Bhagwan's grace that I got through. And then the interview went on very well, and I got the opportunity to be here, and then went back to Vrindavan. My parents had just come back to Whitefield for Swami's darshan, so I went back and joined them. And then in fact I was one of the first boys to join the hostel, even when boys had not even come for summer course.
Okay.
So I remember the warden sir at the time was asking me, are you sure you want to join or you want to spend some time with your parents? Because once you join, you will not be able to go out again. Because I was tired of sitting in 10th, 15th, 13th rows. So I said, I want to become a student today and right now.
Okay.
So I joined the hostel. I think only some brothers from Kodaikanal trip were there. So I was one of the very few who were there in hostel, and had wonderful opportunities with Bhagwan during the summer course every day. When he used to pass by me, he used to put his hand on my head and give a stroke, or put it down on my head and just press it. And I used to have lovely Padanamaskarams and during in the auditorium.
Fantastic.
Every day I used to sit, especially on the pathway, though I used to be the first to sort of get ready and things like that, but I make sure that I sit on the path, so that I get that opportunity to touch his feet. And Swami ensured that throughout the day, I think at 9 to 10 days, every day, whether he may not have spoken to me, but he always ensured he put his hand on my head exactly when he is passing by. Like, no hands will be like, you know, Swami used to put his hands behind with the letters, but when he used to come to me, he used to put one hand on my head, either stroke it or press it, and then go every time. So I had a wonderful opportunity with Bhagwan, and of course I joined the hostel here.
So these are your first years, like first days in
as a student. As a student, because I used to come as a devotee, and there was a different experience right from childhood, where I think it was in 1981, and Swami wrote the Om for both my sister and myself.
Wow.
So there was a, he did it. I think I was about 4 at that time, but still, my sister was still young.
That is awesome.
And but Swami called my sister first, wrote for her, then he called me and wrote for me, and then my father said, you know, do namaskar. So I did that, and then Swami gave a big stroke on me and then said, good boy.
Wow.
So
even as my 4 years old.
That was my first interaction.
Good boy.
I would say that. So I was, after that, like, you know, again, the student is, and...
So I think the whole thing about missing home and being a homebird, all that feeling sort of dissipated once you got so many blessings.
No, that is something that I am coming to. This is a miracle that I would say that this is the first miracle for me as a student here. As a person who never used to eat outside or fully in the home environment, like, you know, I had my own preferences for food and, like, you know, that kind of a thing, like, you know, to come here, adjust, especially for food itself is a miracle. And I never felt homesick. That is another thing. So and so that for, I think, about 3 years, I never went home. When Swami used to visit Vrindavan, I used to just follow him after the exams. I'll go there, spend time with him. Only when Swami is going to Kodaikanal, then I'll go home, and immediately after that, as a family, we used to leave and be there in Kodaikanal for 4-5 days. And the moment Swami is in Whitefield from Kodaikanal, he returns from Kodaikanal, I'll be one of the first person to be there back.
Yes.
And spend the entire remaining vacation with Bhagwan, and then come back to Puttaparthi. I'm really grateful. This came with because of the support from my parents and their inspiration for me to be with Bhagwan always.
He never missed one day with the avatar in all your student days. It was almost like that.
I think so. Except for some time, I was stuck with a viral fever for about 4-5 days. Other than that, I don't think that I ever missed it's His grace.
Yes.
And I always felt like, no, that was the only priority. And nothing...
And this is from someone who never wanted to be actually a student, who wanted to all the time be a doctor.
Student here to
yes,
study BSc and things like that.
Yes.
And then, like, I never missed Darshan... was the thing, like, you know, there was nothing else mattered.
Yes.
Of course, study is something like, you know, that there is a context in which I was brought here, but everything else was Bhagwan. Nothing else mattered to me. And then I remember, I can say that very well, whenever that feeling is that nothing else matters to you other than Bhagwan, He also reciprocates the same to you. And whether it is then or now, whenever I need it, He has always been there for me. And then He has shown me His presence with me and guidance. And then, like, and then even this desire of having, like, you know, wanted to be in medicine.
Yes.
And He fulfilled that in a different way.
Okay.
Because I continued my BSc and completed my MSc in physics.
But why did you do MSc physics and not biology?
That is, that's a good question, but I think here I had done M by PC there. It was a state board in Tamil Nadu. So when I applied, either I have to take completely bioscience and then MPC. I felt that at the time, like, you know, probably take back MPC, and then even after BSc, like, you know, you can always go back to medicine, because anyway I had done my 12th in bio, so I said I could do that. And then anyway I continued that. Once I came back, there was no thought of going back, so I did my MSc, and then I took MBA just because I wanted to stay with Bhagwan two more years of stay with Him, because I was not sure what else I am going to do. I just, all that I wanted is just to be with Him.
Yes.
And then in MBA, because of the interest in healthcare, I said, rather than taking up projects, as we all know, we take up projects, summer projects, so I took up in telemedicine. So that's again a big story, because there was no much data available at the time in the country, because, you know, there were no implementations in India at the time when I took
this
it up.
2001. So not much of telemedicine was there in the country at that time.
Yes. And things were just started as pilot projects.
Yes.
So there was no data available on that. And then I had to rely on secondary data from internet, from other countries.
Maybe, Jaganesh, at this point, maybe you can just take 1 minute and explain to our listeners what is telemedicine.
Okay. Telemedicine is a medical care provided over a distance. Basically, use a telecommunication technology, a network, how you reach out when you interact with the doctor, and the doctor sees you, he asks you questions, he observes you, and then sees your past medical history and things like that. Like that happens in real time, in the physical presence. The same thing, if it can happen over a telecommunication network, like a video conferencing, or even an email, or a Skype call, whatever you call it.
So basically, you should be able to interact with a doctor, doesn't matter where you are,
yes,
physically.
Yes.
You can be physically 50 meters apart, you can be 5 kilometers apart, you can be 5,000 miles apart.
You could be in a different continent.
Continent altogether, but you should be able to connect to the doctor.
Yes.
That's what is, to put it very simply.
It is not that, like, in some situations where the doctor actually need not see the patient, as long as he has the information about you, they will be able to guide you. But seeing is always
better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Please go on.
So anyway, I finished the project in 2002, and then Swami.
That was your management project.
Yes, management project, and I had this opportunity to be this project to be blessed thrice by Bhagwan. And he saw me in Mandir in the Darshan line. He asked me, he saw the fat write up that project report on my lap. And when he's coming for Darshan line, and then he was asking me, thesis? Like that.
Oh.
So all, like a lot of my friends like made fun because this was one of the fattest projects at that
okay.
time. So Swami said, see, when he said thesis, like he said, see, Swami also told, it's such a... It's like a fat.
It's almost like a PhD.
Yeah. So like, you know, Swami blessed it thrice. And I remember three occasions Swami had blessed. I think once during this sports meet or drama time. I think drama time. I was with the costumes group. I had taken the project report inside Purnachandra Auditorium. So there also once he had blessed it in Mandir. So we had three occasions. And there was a longing that, you know, whatever I have learned or whatever I have done this, I should be able to implement at my own institution, like
yes.
the hospitals here.
Yes.
So, but Bhagwan, like, you know, he knows the timing. And that time, like, you know, I had the thing, we would have not been be the first people in India to implement and things
you
like
had that.
Yes.
We should be the first hospital to implement this.
Yes, there are a couple of hospitals have already started, but we could be one of the, probably the third or fourth,
yeah,
if not the first,
among the pioneers.
So, but, you know, Swami has his own timing and things like that. And then he gave me that opportunity after passing out in 2002. And he called me and then asked me to join in 2005. It happened in January. And then by February, I had formerly part of Sri Satya Trundle Trust, joined the Sri Satya Information Technology Center to work for the hospital IT projects. And then the opportunity to implement the telemedicine projects came only in 2007.
But between this period, 2002 to 2005, you were doing a lot of background work.
Yes, I used to attend because Swami had blessed, and there was always a thing like, you know, for me to implement, I need to pick up things, I need to get accustomed to how things go on in real time.
You were just constantly preparing yourself.
Yes, continuously. I used to attend conferences, I used to present during the sessions, I used to chair sessions. Like, I was continuously in touch with the people in the area, both India and abroad. And when the opportunity came, the learning was really helpful.
Yes.
And then I would say that Bhagwan's grace, this project, it was the MOU was signed with ISRO.
Indian Space Research
Organization.
We had a memorandum of understanding
with
them.
In 2007, July
2nd. Because you need the satellite.
Correct, connectivity.
Satellite connectivity.
And we signed the MOU on July 2nd. And by July 22nd, the whole preparations at the sites were done.
This is the year?
2007. And I heard from senior officials from ISRO that this is one of the fastest projects to move on like this, right from MOU to the level of actually starting the consultation. Because we had one desire in mind that we should be prepared for this project to be started by the time of Guru Purnima that year. So that was our offering in mind, and we were prepared. And then with the blessings of Bhagwan, the thing started in September that year. But we were prepared, the whole work that is involved, like right from procuring the equipments, sending it to the sites, getting them installed, tested, training of people, everything happened in 22 days.
22 days.
Yes, by 24th of July that year, 2005, we were ready. And this wow. is again I attribute it completely to Bhagwan, because the equipments to move from Bangalore to various sites like, you know, Orissa, West Bengal, all these things, it takes time. And it, I remember the consignment to that was going to West Bengal was stuck somewhere in the Orissa West Bengal border. I think Kurda Road or somewhere like that. It was stuck. But everything happened without any hassles, and things went on like, you know, we were ready. We were ready. Anytime Swami says start, we will start. And Swami gave the go ahead in August end, and then we started the project on September 11, 2007. And since then, we have been working on it, and it's a nice opportunity. Though I could not be a doctor, and Swami blessed me with an opportunity to be associated with the doctors and facilitate them to reach out beyond the physical brick and mortar portals of these institutions. And this is an opportunity. I am really grateful to Bhagwan. And he, and apart from telemedicine, he has also given the opportunities to be involved with, like, you know, the training and professional development for doctors, like the CME programs for GH. And in fact, we have a program now where the doctors are able to discuss with their colleagues abroad.
The CME is an academic program?
Academic program. It happens both via the telemedicine link and then routine, like, you know, other video conferencing tools that are available, like, you know,
GH. Again, we are leveraging technology not only to reach out to patients, but also increasing the expertise of our
to
doctors.
Build the capacity in our own resources.
Yes.
Because, like, these doctors, like, you know, they are getting updated with the latest things, discussed with their colleagues over there, their mentors yes. abroad, as well as in India. So that is something that, again, I would say that it's a nice opportunity to be part of that. A small speck in the grand mission, but I feel the very line, the healthcare, to be part of this opportunity to serve the patients and reach out to them, that he made me, if not a doctor, like, he knows what is better for me.
Yes.
And he gave me this opportunity. I am glad to be part of this.
Fantastic. So no regrets that he couldn't become a doctor.
Certainly. Certainly.
And just like Pradeep sir has no regrets that he didn't join Mudunelli campus, but, you know, Swami was all the time seeing where exactly we would fit in
yes.
properly in his mission.
And on January 24, 2011, I had this opportunity to present on telemedicine project. Like, Swami had come for the inauguration of the extension that was built in the Central Trust Office.
Yes, we had one more floor of the Central Trust Office, and Bhagwan physically inaugurated
yes.
that portion.
Yes. So I was given this opportunity to present on telemedicine project and about a couple of IT initiatives which we were doing for mobile hospital. And Bhagwan went through the entire presentation, and that had the pictures of people involved, the sites, like the whole thing. He had seen it. So I would say that that was a very nice thing, that because 3 months down the lane, means I felt like, you know, without that opportunity, probably there would have been some lacuna that I would have felt, I
yes.
could have taken it to Bhagwan. And I remember one more thing that had happened. During the MBA, I was asked by my project guide, Professor U.S. Rao sir, that I should be a speaker.
Okay.
Herein, I didn't have much of a data, and I was struggling with even putting together the report, and I was asked to speak during this annual workshop that happens in the MBA department. That happens typically in July. So it was in July 2001. The workshop was titled IT-enabled services, and I was one of the speakers.
Okay.
And I was literally worried what I'm going to do, but And Swami's grace put together whatever I have worked so far. And we were all, like, all the speakers were met to sit in Mandir. And we had this opportunity to sort of go to Bhagwan and get his blessings. So at the time, Swami had blessed the printout that I had taken of the presentation. So I would say that, like, he had his plan, and he knows his time when to get it implemented, and right through, he has always been there.
Yes.
And then, like, he blessed, and the presentation went on very well. Not only that, because of that, I got a support from a doctor from US who happened to be the wife of one of the resource persons who had come, faculty who had come for the event, and she happened to know that who is this person from India who is doing a work on telemedicine here. I want to speak to him. And then thanks to her, and through her, like, Bhagwan helped me enough material to be got just in time before I submitted my report. So
oh,
I would say that there are a lot of things, and then I think it will take time. There are a lot of things he has done for us.
Even as you say, when I see your expressions, I can make out that, you know, the hidden thing what wants to express itself is, at every step there has been Bhagwan's guidance.
Yes.
At every step you have felt His presence, and He has guided you. He has taken you to places. He wanted you to speak about it. He took you to different forums where you can
Correct.
Speak about it, and He prepared you all the time.
Exactly.
And gave you that confidence and to, so that you could take this and implement it not only in our hospital, but also take it to all the other major fora where this can be discussed. And now there is so much a momentum about this, and
yes.
you feel so happy that, you know, our hospital is one of those institutions which is doing so well in this.
Certainly.
New
Just last week, one of my colleagues had the opportunity to present in a cardiac forum. And typically the participants are mostly surgeons, cardiac surgeons. And I was involved in my own small way in this project as a facilitator for the network support. And he has won an award as a young investigator. I think probably you should interact with him sometime.
Yes.
And it's a nice opportunity again. Like, you know,
we're talking about Ashwin.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And there is going to be another session that is coming up, in fact, in October end. And that again, there is one of our doctors is going to talk about the telemedicine. And
So this happened in which country?
No, this happened in India.
Yeah, this happened in India.
It's an Echo India 2013 event that happened in Bangalore. It's
Bangalore.
A cardiac conference.
Yes.
So, in fact, like, no, Swami is giving us this opportunity.
So, even though doctors generally present on this conference, you mentioned one of our colleagues, our brother,
yes.
Ashwin, presented.
Yes. I think the rest of the nominees for the award were doctors.
Doctors.
That's what I heard.
Yes.
And then I am really proud of that. And then, like, no, I feel very grateful to Bhagwan to play that small speck.
And incidentally, you know, as you're mentioning this, I think Ashwin also was into biology, and perhaps in him also that desire was there probably to become a doctor. I don't know, because I definitely know that he was all the time into biology, and he did his MSc also in that
yes.
forum.
Yes.
And his parents definitely wanted to become him to become a doctor, because I know that in his 12th class, you know, there were occasions when Swami was telling, hey, you go for medicine, you go for medicine, your parents want you to go for medicine. And he used to all say, no, Swami, I want to be at your lotus feet, I want to study here. And with a lot of persuasion, actually, Swami had to study here, even though there were a lot of pressures from from Swami himself, you know. Maybe Swami is joking with him, but Swami is seeing with how interested he is here still to continue. But eventually, you know, now, as you mentioned, he gets a recognition and an award which is only meant for the doctors. So Swami, in our own ways, is taking us where, through different routes, but where we are actually headed, and now in his mission, in his divine way.
Yes.
That is really fantastic. And the other thing, Jagannish, you mentioned is in January 2011, when Bhagwan came to inaugurate the extension block of the Central Trust building, he blessed your project. And you were so happy that physically Bhagwan actually gave his benediction on that project. And you've been building on that.
No, I was more happy because I was waiting for an opportunity where the entire team could have an audience with Bhagwan, in the sense, like, some kind of an interaction.
Yes.
So that was something that I was looking for. So what I did was, I put up the pictures of the sites with the people there who are working, the doctors, technicians, paramedics, anybody, like Sevadal, they all assembled in one place in the centers, and then they have sent the pictures. So those pictures were put, and Bhagwan went through.
Yes,
went through
that's
that.
Wonderful. So, you know,
so
you can convey that blessings to all of them.
Yes, yes.
That's fantastic.
Because there is I am coordinator for the project and a facilitator to put the infrastructure and the training in place, but there is a lot of work that actually goes on to run the day-to-day.
Yes.
There are my colleagues, the doctors who are actually working on that. So
many people working.
Yes, so many of them, so many of them.
Wonderful. But how does it feel now, Jagannish? You don't have that opportunity now physically to present anything to Bhagwan. You know, whatever blessing you received was in January 2011, and things have changed so much. Just 3 months down the line, we had to go through that huge shock, and after that it has been a very different journey. How does it feel now for you?
One thing I found that I have experienced in my life is, when the earning is there and is genuine, He's always there. And it has happened more than during my times in the physical proximity with Bhagwan. Even when I had gone outside, I have always felt, whenever the earning was there, He has always been present. And then I would say that this project has now grown in scope, and from Prashantigram we have extended this teleconsultation service from the Prashanthi Graham Hospital also. The Department of Cardiac Surgery is offering now the teleconsultation service for both the patients from the states of Orissa and West Bengal.
And it's really such a blessing for these patients because they are from this poor background. Most of them are from poor backgrounds.
Yes, not only the economic impact, but there's a lot of impact in terms of the physical stress and strain having to travel all the way.
Without traveling all the way, they get the consultation.
Yes.
And expert advice of the doctors.
Yes. So it's a wonderful experience, and he has been there. I would suddenly, as I recollect, like as I talk to you, there are so many occasions, there are so many incidents that come to my mind where he has always shown his presence in the place where you most unlikely to sort of come across.
Maybe you can just mention one, Jagnish.
Okay. This incident occurred, I think, in 2009. I had been to Sri Lanka, and I think that was during the civil war that was going on. So it was in the month of February, and then I think the whole war came to an end in May. During that, at that time, like I had been to one of the research conferences on health IT, and I had this desire, like before I left, I have a favorite photograph of Bhagwan, which I always keep with me. And I wanted to see that photograph. Where I went, and this is a desire just happened in my mind, and I was very choosy and picky that the particular photo I need to see. And then of course the whole event, the conference was in Kandy, and then I traveled from Colombo and then back, and I was coming back to India after the event. And what had happened in Kandy was, like, you know, I was basically looking for a vegetarian restaurant to eat. And the rest of my colleagues after the event, you know, they all went out to eat, and then I just came along, but my mind was like, now where I'm going to eat. And on the way, I happened to see a Subramanya temple.
Okay.
We were traveling in a vehicle where about 15-20 of us were being brought from the hotel where we were staying to a place where we can have our dinner. And on the way, I just had the desire, like, when I can sort of come out of that group, and then can I go to this temple? This, I don't know what struck me. There are a lot of light, and, you know, the photograph of Lord Subramanya outside that thing. I thought it is a Subramanya temple. I somehow felt that I should go there. And then I crossed that place, and then I was totally new to this place, and the evening there were like paramilitary people with bunkers sitting on the road, shutters were down, hardly few shops and things like that were open by even by 6:30, everything was seems to be closed. And we were just passing by on the road. We crossed that particular temple, and about 10-15 minutes we were in a place where we can have our dinner. And I just excused myself. I came down, somehow had this desire, urge to go to that place. And then I don't know the place, remember that? I don't know the place, no directions, nothing. I just started walking, and there was hardly anybody on the road also, and it was a bit scary, but I just walked here and there, and I was just right in front of this temple. So I said, okay, let me go inside. When I was going inside, I saw a huge statue of Lord Buddha inside, and a monk sitting there and giving a piece of thread to all the devotees who come to him. So I passed that. I had this desire, can I see Bhagwan somewhere? And, like, you know, there were some idols, pictures and things like that of goddess and Lord Subramanya and all that. Like, I was, before going to this main area where there was a huge picture of Lord Subramanya that's supposed to be the sanctorum. And something struck me, which was across the path, on the totally on the other side, an yellow picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And somehow I felt it is Bhagwan. And it was a quite far distant, but I literally rushed to that place, and lo and behold, it was a picture of Bhagwan in yellow robe.
Okay.
I literally got choked with tears of joy, because this is something that I was looking for a minute ago, and coming to a temple which is meant for Lord Subramanya, and why I felt like going there, God only knows, He only knows. And then I came here, just started thinking that, can I have darshan of Bhagwan? And not one picture. When I came there, I found about 10-15 pictures. It's a small place. It's not even a room. It is just a makeshift, place to where they can do bhajans, because it was in Tamil, it was written Baba Bhajan Mandali.
Okay. So inside the Subramanya temple.
Yes. It was not even a room. It is just on the corridor and a place where they have put some carton boxes and made some partition. And there were lots of pictures of Bhagwan. Lots of pictures. So when I went there, I was just looking at it and a curtain was there and that's all. It just to make it a room for them to conduct bhajans, which I learned because when I went there and saw that written and there was a very elderly priest who was there, I accosted him and asked him, "Sir, what is this place?" He said, "This Baba's devotees, they come here and do bhajans here." Then he asked me, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Puttaparthi." He said, "From Puttaparthi? You have come all the way here?" He said, "Yes, I came to attend the conference and I just shared with him, said I just wanted to have darshan of my Bhagwan and I saw it here." And he said, these are the words I still remember. He's a very elderly person and he was talking to me in fluent English and Tamil. And he says, he knows where to bring his devotees. Okay, this is something literally brought tears to me and I was already choked with emotion. I immediately made a call to my mother and my aunt and conveyed that I already had the darshan of Bhagwan there. And after this, the conference was over, came back and I remember the date. It was February 4th. It was the national day of Sri Lanka and there were a lot of security on the way from Kandy to Colombo. It was I think about almost 5 hours, 4.5 to 5 hours of road journey, and being the national day and they were expecting some kind of a trouble and all that, there were checks throughout the way and I was told to travel a bit early to the airport, and the airport was literally sort of deserted, and I had a very long stay at the airport, so I had lots of time to sort of spend there, so I didn't know what to do. So I went to the shops to see if I can buy some gifts for my friends over here, and I was just buying some keychains and chocolates and things like that. And then there's one desire of mine to see that particular, I had seen Bhagwan,
yes,
but that particular photo of Bhagwan.
Yes.
Okay. I could share that with you, that photograph of Bhagwan, which I wanted to see.
Sure.
This happened there were lots of time, almost 3 hours before the gates were open. So I was just spending some time right outside within the airport complex, right outside the gates, boarding gates. There are a lot of shops. So I was going around and the announcement was made that, boarding is now there for the particular flight from Colombo to Chennai. So when the announcement was made, I was at the particular shop. Just listen to the announcement. I was about to leave. At that time, I see a picture, a small picture of Bhagwan. Exactly the picture which I wanted to see.
Oh my God.
And it's a little faded out, but exactly the same picture. So I was just looking at it, and then the person in the shop, she came to me and said, "Sir, what do you want?" I was just looking at that picture. I said, he's my God. And I was just looking at him. He said, "My boss, the owner of the shop, is a devotee of Bhagwan. And he says he goes to India in every 2 or 3 months to visit him." So anyway, that was end to that particular event and the trip. That ended with the satisfaction that I indeed came across the photo, the very photo which I wanted to see. So this has happened multiple times, and this is not the first time. This happened multiple times, but I don't think that there is this is the occasion to, but this is something that I always remember because it mattered a lot to me.
Of the times it used to happen, even when Bhagwan was there in a physical form, at the most unexpected time you will get his blessings.
Yes, and we also put clauses and filters that it should happen in this sequence, in this particular way, and that actually happens.
Yes. And it's so fantastic. So all you're saying, Jaganesh, is, that yearning is there. He gives his blessings and you feel his presence in so many ways. So it doesn't...
Certainly, whenever you have that desire, nothing else matters to you apart from him. He responds.
He responds. And that continues even now.
Yes.
Pradeep sir, what has been your experience post Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi working in the Central Trust?
Of course, that gap cannot be filled up. We always feel his physical absence. But his guidance is available even now. There was time when all of us were going under turmoil. There was agitation within, and I also was agitated.
Especially immediately after Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi.
Yeah, it is around 1 year back or so.
Yes.
1 year back or around 1.5 year back or so. So I was agitated. One day Bhagwan came to my dream. This was after Mahasamadhi. This is the first time I saw Bhagwan. He appeared in a very charming form, as if he was in highest heaven, full of light and peace. And Swami was all smiling, full of joy and happiness on his face. He called from there, "Pradeep, you go to Iran."
Iran?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, "Swami, Iran?" Swami again repeated, "Yes, you go to Iran." I said, "No, Swami, I don't want to go." Swami third time I said, you go to Iran." I said, "Swami, why you want to send me away from this place, from your fold?" Then Swami said, "Okay, you don't want to go, then have tolerance." At the time, there was a lot of conflict was going on between Iran and USA that they may go for war. So Swami, what Swami meant was, don't have a tolerance, is what we call in Hindi sahishnuta.
Forbearance.
So we should have that. That's what Swami guidance
so
was.
He was telling you that if you, it, what is needed at that point in time.
At the time, and Swami really guided
me. Go through
me.
That phase in a calm manner.
So Swami guided me, that would have been really a drastic turn in my life. So
you're almost saying either you have tolerance and forbearance and stay here, or you go away.
Yeah, Swami said you have tolerance if you want to stay here. So that was the message very clear. Swami had many occasions told me, once I had been to be with him in Kodaikanal, I wanted to know how to attain liberation. So when I went from here to Kodaikanal, I think at that time Swami had selected 7 boys from ashram. And Swami mentioned he is going this time to Kodaikanal just because of these 7 boys. Otherwise he had no intention to go to Kodaikanal. All of us went to Kodaikanal in a flight up to Coimbatore. So their daily routine was that we'll get up early morning, we'll clean all rooms, dusting, carpets, cleaning kitchen utensils and all that, and arranging things in the dining hall. And I think you were also part of that.
Yes, very 1999.
Yeah. So my inner heart, there was only one desire to know from Bhagwan how to attain liberation. It so happened, one day we all have come down after morning session at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Swami came around 7:30 or so downstairs, and we all were seated. I was sitting next to the staircase, far away from his throne. On that day, Swami came down. Instead of going to his throne, Swami stood near railing of the staircase, very close to me. And Swami was speaking to some elderly devotee. Suddenly Swami turned toward me and said, "Avatar doesn't come to tell how to attain liberation. You find out for yourselves how to attain liberation. I will not tell."
He didn't tell him anything. He just said on his own.
Bhagwan said this much. And many occasions Swami told me, "You find out for yourself how to attain liberation. I will not tell." So that message was very clear to me, that Atmanin Mokshartam Jagat Hitaycha, that we should try to seek liberation. This is not so easy as people understand, and we should continue to help others. So that is the path Bhagwan has laid for me, and I am still following that. Still guidance comes. Bhagwan guides now and then. He shows us when some mistake is made. He guides us through various signs. So Bhagwan is always present here. He is guiding us. Only we need to turn inward and get a capacity to receive his message.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think the common bottom line, if you look at all the boys who have decided to stay back and whom Bhagwan gave the chance to stay back, they have that inherent desire to lead a spiritual life, to do something for Bhagwan and to lead a life which is more in tune with the higher purpose of life. And for that, what you need is a conducive environment and an opportunity to do selfless service. I think because both are so important. Sadhana and seva are so important. Both sort of complement each other and supplement each other. And working in Bhagwan's mission directly in any of his institutions, be it in the Central Trust or in the university or in the hospital, gives us that environment where you get the chance to do selfless service. And as you mentioned, your daily needs are looked after. You don't have to worry about your sustenance. As well as you get an ambience where you can pursue your sadhana. So it becomes your sadhana sthal, which will take you to your real goal in life.
Yes, and Swami used to very often tell that boys should do their duties and do sadhana. And during his end of earthly sojan, he said boys should go towards Vedanta. It is not enough if they just read Bhagavatam and Mahabharata and Ramayana.
Yes.
They should go towards Vedanta.
Yes.
So Swami had a message for everybody. According to capacity, Swami has blessed and he has given direction. So we should now continue to follow his teachings.
Fantastic, because Vedanta is ultimately the essence of all the scriptures. In fact, I'll end with what one of my colleagues had told me when I joined Radio Sai. You know, he had said, I can guarantee you one thing, once you join this institution and decide to stay back, whether anything else happens to you or not, whether you get anything else or not, whether you get any other recognition or any other satisfaction or not, what will definitely happen if you stay back in this place is you will grow spiritually. That is sort of
self-fulfillment. Self-fulfillment.
That is what the place is, and that is what this ambience will do, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, you will grow spiritually. And that is a common experience, I think, of each one of us. And ultimately, that being the goal of life, whatever we do is only a step towards that direction. And Bhagwan has given us all these various... in fact, many times, you know, I feel that Swami has given this, created this work only for my, you know, sort of my emancipation. You know, I mean, sometimes we feel like that. Because what does Bhagwan need? I mean, if you want, who are we to spread Bhagwan's message, or, you know, to do Bhagwan's work? He can do, in a trice, he can achieve whatever he wants to achieve. It is just, he just created some opportunities, created an environment for us so that, you know, we are facilitated to pursue
and
this
feel
path.
Satisfied that
and feel satisfied that
we have done something.
Yes, we have done something. Wonderful. It was great talking to you, both of you brothers. Thank you so much, and I hope we can meet again and discuss on these lines. Jagannesh has so much more to share. Brother, you also have so much more to share, especially on the Vedanta side. So I hope with Bhagwan's grace we can meet again. Thank you so much.
Sairam.
So that was the conversation with Pradeep and Jagannesh, both of them working in the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Pradeep is a civil engineer, graduated from NIT, National Institute of Technology, Tiruchirappalli, and he joined Baba's college for his MBA in 1995. And once he completed this course in Baba's university, Swami blessed him to work in the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. While Jagannesh, he did his bachelor's and master's in sciences, majoring in physics in Baba's university, which he completed in 2000. After this, he went on to do his double post-graduation now in management, which he completed in 2002. And after this, under Baba's direction, he joined the healthcare mission of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And as you heard, he was talking about the telemedicine initiative, of which he has been the facilitator and coordinator. And both of them now continue to serve in his mission, handling very, very important initiatives of the trust. And this is a conversation I had with him just 24 hours ago in the studios. Maybe in future episodes of this program, we will listen to more such reflections of members of the Sai Sanidhi group, because each one of them is an inspiration. Each one of them has taken to this path of service and sadhana. All they want to do in their life is to dedicate their time, energy, youth and resource for Bhagwan. And it is so heartening and inspiring listening to their reminiscences, their convictions and their ideals which they hold close to their heart. In fact, the next Thursday we will listen to the reflections of Brother Ravi Kumar, who works in the hospital and also who's been blessed with a golden voice, who sings bhajans every day in the Prashanti Mandir. So that is what we will listen to next week on yet another episode, the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. For now, it's time to draw the curtains on this episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for joining us. It's already 9:59. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day, listening to the Thursday Live broadcast. If you have any suggestions or comments, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosci.org. We dedicate this entire offering, this Thursday Live program, and in fact every program that we produce, at the lotus feet of our most beloved Lord, who is the sole inspiration, the only force enabling us to do every little thing that we are able to do on Radio Sci. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us. And finally, a sweet goodbye and loving sign-off from Prashant Nilayam. In a few moments from now, you will listen to a drama on the theme Selfless Service, presented by the Sai Youth from United Kingdom in front of Bhagwan on 9th August 2004. So you will listen to that now. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam.